Praise the Lord. Oh, y'all are excited. I can see. What are you expecting tonight? I hope you don't get that. Are you expecting anything tonight? Because you're going to get what you expect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be back, I think. I'm glad you're here tonight. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate you listening. But more than that, I appreciate what God's going to do for you and to you. I'm expecting that. You need to expect something from God tonight. Let's pray right quick. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. We thank you for the privilege of standing here before your people. And I humble myself before you. I ask you to take this person and all that you've made it and remake it right here tonight for your honor, for your glory, for your people, and for your kingdom. Change us all tonight. We expect that, we believe it, we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right. A number of things have happened since we've been gone, other than the 2 weeks we were on vacation. For those of you that attended my birthday party, the band that was there, I guess they got blessed for coming because I think just a few days after that, they debuted number 9 on the blues chart in the United States. So in case y'all didn't like the band, you were wrong. There was a lot of other people that did, me including me. Had a nice vacation. Enjoyed very much. I remembered how beautiful my wife's eyes are. How good the voice of God is even when you're not working to hear it. Had a good time. How beautiful the world is that He's made. Amen. Expect to continue to see that more and more. I want to talk to you tonight about something that God spoke to me. One of the things that God spoke to me while I was in Cozumel, I went there to rest and I rested. And God arrested. And that's a good thing. I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture to you before I get started. If you can get the first one up there, John 10:10. These are familiar scriptures, but familiarity causes distance. And the greatest thing about God is every time you read His Word, every time He speaks something to you, He reveals new light out of old word. Excuse me, there's no such thing as old word, but you understand what I'm saying. He makes new meaning, new understanding, new light out of the norm. So John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That means the thief is not omnipresent. Please don't make the devil equal to God. He doesn't stay with you all the time and hound you all the time. That's you. That's not the devil. That's the guilt in you. This thing is getting a lot of echo. That's the guilt in you that the enemy just, that because of sin from Adam's day, we have in us, and that's what the pastor's been teaching about, how to get rid of that guilt. But when he comes, which means he has to go, when he comes, how do you recognize him? Well, it's because he's stealing, trying to steal from you, trying to kill you, and trying to destroy you and yours. Whatever you've been given charge over, whatever you've been giving realm over, the place you live, the work, He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. So what does that mean? Well, He's coming. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and He can't do it without your permission. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. More than what? More than you think. More abundantly than you think. I came. Why did Jesus come? Two reasons. Come on, this is Jesus talk. Why did He come? Life and... Now see, what we try to do is say life and life more abundantly. That's fine, say that. But life is life. How can it be more abundantly? Well, that's when abundance is in your life. Don't you understand that life is precious? But abundant life is more than precious. It's like a stone is precious, but if it's this big around, it's more precious. Well, it's a precious stone. No. It's a much more precious stone. How do I know? Well, I can cash it in and show you. Now, you understand what I'm trying to get you to understand? What the Word is trying to tell you, that Jesus came to take you out of kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus stays to keep you in life and that more abundantly. Those are two. Is that too black and white for you? Thank you. I'm black and white. It's just the way it is. There's no gray area in this. The second, Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, look at me. I want you to say, I'm going to tell you, for this reason and this reason only. If Paul were sitting here, this is the way he'd say it. For this reason and this reason only, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean that's the only reason? Well, every time that you bow before God, there's a reason. You need to know why it is. It's either for Him or it's for somebody else. Paul's speaking for somebody else right now. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you. He is going to grant who? Are you a you? What does He grant? It doesn't make any difference what it is. It's according to His riches. Whatever He's fixing to give you, it's according to His value, not yours. If you've got $1 million cash in your pocket, it's real easy to pull out a $20 bill and tip somebody, isn't it? But if you've only got 20, it's a little more difficult. He's going to tip us, He's going to pay us, He's going to bless us according to His riches. Paul is saying, I want you to understand this. God is asking me to teach you, to pray for you, to push you, to increase your faith for this reason, so He can bless you according to His riches of His glory. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man. That means God's going to do the work because I'm bowing my knee and asking Him to. He's going to give you understanding about this riches in glory, in His glory. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to wallow. You don't have to fast. You don't have to chant. You don't have to lay on the floor and shake. The Holy Spirit's going to do it in your inner man. That's what the Scripture's saying. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How is Christ going to dwell in your heart? How do you know that? Because without faith it's impossible to please Him, and He likes pleasing places. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, second requirement, you have to have faith, and now you have to be rooted and grounded. What does that mean? Nobody can take your love. Nobody can take your lover. Because there's a work in you being has been done and is being done by the Holy Spirit. Nothing on your part, nothing that you earned, which is going to root you and ground you in love and more abundance from Him. When you get this rooted and grounded feeling, when you know that you know that you know that you know, you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints. That means saints comprehend. If there's no comprehension, there's no saint. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height of what? His love, His riches, His work in you, His continuous work in you. You're going to comprehend that. That means that it's so true to you that you're not going to be able to disbelieve it. No matter what the enemy comes to steal, kill, or destroy. You're going to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, let me ask you something. How do you know something if it passes knowing? Tell me. Who's the English professor in here? Who's the dictionary? How do you know when it passes know? Well, you don't unless you're rooted and grounded. Because then you're going to feel things that can't be expressed. You're going to know things that you can't explain. You're going to stand in faith and you don't know why. You're going to fight in a way that you've never fought before. And you're going to know all of this is from the Holy Spirit working in you. And it comes out of you, you go, wow, I didn't know I could do that. See, past your knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All right, you got to have faith. You got to be rooted and grounded. You got to begin to comprehend the width, depth, height of God's love in you. In other words, you just can't believe how much He loves you. How good God is. Now, see, here's where most of the saints began to fail. They don't realize how good God is to them. Oh, I know how good He is to him. Well, that won't make you a saint. The devil knows how good God is to you, and he'll never be a saint. You got to know it. Because Somebody that loves you is not bad to you. It's the way it is. And when you finally comprehend the cubic feet, for lack of better speech, the size of God's love for you and His intent for you, you're gonna get on fire. You're gonna know that that passes your understanding, your knowledge. And it's now it says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Okay. Now, Paul was a master at miscommunication. Now, that didn't come out right. I'm a master of it now. Paul was a master of taking something simple and making it sound complicated. He didn't know where to punctuate. He confuses us sometimes if we don't stop and let God explain. To Him who is able and wants to show you exceedingly abundantly, far beyond. We've already said it's far beyond your knowledge, so it's far beyond even your faith. To Him that wants you to understand that you will never understand how much He loves you. See, I can shrink it pretty good. To Him will do, His plans are far beyond anything that we can think about asking. I've done this in other churches, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to stop sometime and you need to think about the greatest, mightiest, grandest thing that you could ask God and understand it's peanuts in His thought process. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. Paul stumbled on it and he said, I'm going to try to tell you what I stumbled on. I don't know if I can, but the Holy Spirit can make you understand even if I can't. To Him who is able. Able means He has the ability. But Christians try to stop there because that means if I tell you you have the ability to run a 7-minute mile, you may believe that, but in your heart you know it's not going to happen. At least not right now. So most people quote this scripture like there's a way out. Well, maybe He's not willing. Bologna sausage. So you start limiting God. You start limiting what He wants by putting exceptions in the Word of God. You know what God wants us to do? He wants to take that Word, put it in our hearts so that we throw it back at Him all the time. Because you know what He loves to hear? His Word. He don't want to hear our prayers and He sure don't want to hear our bawling. He wants to hear His Word. And the reason most of us aren't walking in that exceedingly abundantly is because we haven't learned to talk exceeding and abundantly. And so we miss His mark, which is high. And how's this going to happen? According to power that works in us. Once again, He's not saying, if you can squeeze out the belief, I'll make it happen. He's saying, I'm already working in you. You're already getting a glimpse of this. I'm putting it in there. I'll send a couple of donkeys around like Stan or whatever to remind you of it. But you listen. He's telling you what you need to do. He's telling you that you believe that God's working in you. Do you really believe that God's working in you tonight? I don't believe that. You didn't make me believe it. I don't think you believe it. God is working in you tonight to accomplish abundance in you. Abundance in wisdom, abundance in speech, abundance in money, abundance in spirit, abundance in health, and abundance in salvation. The Holy Spirit's doing that in you. All you got to do is begin to believe it. When you begin to believe it, then that's going to start to come out of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, you're going to see things that you never dreamed of. It's so far beyond. In my church in Denver, in the wall, they did one of these projection things and painted that eagle on there, and above it is this, far beyond. That was the slogan, far beyond. So that every time we were reminded that whatever we're thinking of right now, God is 10 jillion miles bigger and ahead of us. I wonder how much 10 jillion is. That's far beyond anything I can think of. By the way, please, saints, if you're not thinking beyond yourself, you're not obeying God. If you can think of it, it ain't worth thinking about. If you can ask for it, it wasn't worth asking for. You need to get your mouth open and thank God for things that you can't think of. So that He's going to take you places that you never dreamed of.
You need to believe that there's a Holy Spirit working in you. When there's a Holy Spirit, listen to me. When there's a Holy Spirit working, I don't know if I'm going to get to this tonight. When there's a Holy Spirit working in you, there are people around you, things around you that are going to change, and you don't even know it. He may be nice enough to tip you by showing you, but you just need to first assume that I'm not out here to intake oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. I'm here for another reason. What is it, God? Keep going. I'll tell you. I'll show you. You can be curious. Just don't be slow. Don't let your curiosity open the door for an enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Stay on track. My wife and I, this is going back to Cozumel. We had made a decision about a purchase. A large purchase. We hesitated. We did everything we weren't supposed to do. We tried to reason it out and ration it out. You're supposed to do that. Do the math. The math needs, if God's in it, the math is going to make sense. Unless it holds you back, then it doesn't make sense. All right, we made the decision that night. When does the enemy come? What does he come for? He usually comes dark, kill, steal, and destroy. What? Whatever God has going in your life. That's what. This is not a, that sounds like an easy statement, but you need to, if you can get in your heart that God is ordering your steps, it doesn't make any difference where you are. God is, this is holy ground. Why? Because my foot's there. You need to get that bold about things. I'm going to touch this. Why? Because it's going to prosper. Just, how do you know that? The Word says so. And God doesn't lie. That's why. It's childlike. So in the night, I get awake. Oh my God, what did we do? We shouldn't have done this. Well, can you afford it? Well, yeah, we can afford it, but, guess who's the but? But it might take away from something else. Well, where did you get what you got? Did it run him out? Did we bankrupt him? We've talked about this before. It's not possible. I wasn't thinking all about that. And a phrase that every one of us, if we have responsible parents, taught us. Don't past what you can do. In other words, don't live beyond your means. You ever heard that before? Don't try to live beyond your means. Don't try to live beyond your means. So the enemy comes along and says, don't you try to live beyond your means. Oh, there's the answer. I'm trying to live beyond my means. Well, I thought you said you could pay for it. Well, yeah. But, you know, it might run us short here or there or whatever. And you know, when I pondered that statement, which is doubt, that's doubt and unbelief stepping in. When I heard that phrase, don't live beyond your means. You know what the next thing I heard was? See, the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. God comes that you might have life and have more abundantly. The next word that come was, that's a great suggestion. God, I don't want you living beyond your means or even in your means. I want you living in mine. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. Now, that's not math. You can't put that in your checkbook. I know, God. You know, I've tried this and I've done it. You know how? You know what you say. Nothing new under the sun. Everybody does it. That was early in the morning. And the minute I heard that, I went back to sleep. The next morning, I'm going, God, what did you mean by that? I've got to live in your means. You know what he said? He said, you know what means is, don't you? If I tell you don't live out of your means, what does that mean? That means if you make $100, you can't spend any more than $100. You really shouldn't spend that, right? Whatever I can do, that's my means. Now I'm getting to the point. Whatever I can make, whatever I can create, whatever I can, that's within my means. God said, did you buy salvation? Oh, man. That means from the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I moved right out of my means. I bought a treasure that nobody can buy. Nobody can afford. And I did it. It was a gift to me, so I did it in His or through His means. It was His purchase price. It was His payment. I just took it. No, you're saying, yeah, but you're not getting it yet. I can tell you right now, you're not getting it yet. Because if you open up that can of worms, where do we stop? Not a can of worms. It's a can of blessing. But anyway, it's a can of worms if you don't have, if you're not walking in faith. I moved in to a treasure that all the money and all the earth can't buy. And I'm worried about a few bucks. Okay. God says, I'm relating to you. You may not have been awake at night, and the word might not have come to you the way it came to me, but it's coming to you now, and you're responsible for it. I like that finger. It's pointing at you. Hey, if you're not listening, I'm pointing at you. The word's coming to you. The Holy Spirit is doing this to put it inside of you, to do a work that you have not yet figured out even. Yeah. I prophesy it and I mean it. Are you saved? Okay, then you're beyond your means. Are you healed? How much did it cost you? Let me tell you the fallacy of you saints and me saints and all the saints that I know of. They think they can buy their way out of things. Come on. You think you can buy your way out of things. I'll give you a perfect example. You think that you can buy health insurance and stay healthy. I stood over the body of a man that had worked for us for 33 years last night. He had the greatest health insurance package there was, and he's dead. What good did his health insurance get him? His confidence was in health insurance because he could pay for it. And anything you can pay for is sure. See, we've been duped. We've been fooled into believing this nonsense. You don't accept the free gift that was the most costly thing in the world, costly to God, free to you. If you don't accept that, you're going to go to hell. We need to get more black and white about this thing. If you don't believe that God loved you so much that He paid that price, then you won't be able to accept it. Or if you do accept it, it will be of no value to you. Are you healed? The price that God paid through Jesus Christ, the healing, was taken care of before the salvation. You were healed with His bruises and stripes before He died for your sins. And yet we push the healing to one side and say, just give me some salvation. Doesn't work that way. The package is the same. This morning, I'm down about this death. And I walked outside the house and the day is absolutely gorgeous. You haven't seen a prettier day than that unless you were in Cozumel. And I'm mad because that day had no right to be that pretty. Don't you know what happened, God? God looks at me and says, is the day happy? Is the world happy? Why are you going against me? It's a good question. See, if God's going in one direction, let's don't buck it. Let's get on board. If God paid for this beautiful day, let's receive it and quit trying to change it. Let's quit trying to make God fit our package. Let's fit His. Are you healed? How much did you pay for it? You know what saints want to do? They want to start a process that gets them saved and start a process that gets them healed. Depends on what society you're in, whether you're beating yourself, where you're fasting, where you're laying out, where you're beating your head against the wall, where you're tearing your knees up. There's all kinds of process that humans want to pay so they can earn. And the hardest thing we have to ever understand is that every time you do it, it isn't worth doing. It's not worth doing. I'm healed because there was a Holy Spirit working in me to stimulate the measure of faith that God gave me to increase the faith to believe what God is trying to tell me so that He can do a larger work than I can think of. I don't think I can say that again. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. You need to remember before we read that this God is always good. He can't be bad. And when you question what He's doing, you're being bad. You have not quite understood that everything He does is good. Everything He's doing is good. He's doing me, I'm good. Is He doing you? Then you're good. If you weren't good, He wouldn't be doing you. He wouldn't be in you, changing you. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift... There must be other gifts than good. Every good gift and every perfect gift, so any gift that God gives you is good and perfect, is from God, is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Is salvation semi-good and semi-perfect? Or is it good and perfect? So whatever God did to you in the salvation process, and let me say it even clearer, anything that God is doing to you during this salvation process, which is every day for the rest of your life, it's good and it's perfect. For what purpose? Good and perfect. You don't put a good and perfect gift in something that you want to turn out less than good and less than perfect. Every. And no variation or shadow of turning. When you decide that God is doing a great gift in you, but not so good in you, you're questioning God because there's no variation or shadow of turning. Yeah, but God, you don't know what they did. Are you nuts? What do you mean God don't know what you did? You think you've been up? You've been further up than Him? He knows. You're not telling Him anything. Don't squeal on somebody because He already knows. Now He knows that you're not quite good and perfect and He's got some more work to do. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. You're doing the Amplified. Well, we'll see how it works. Now the God of peace. Okay, if we don't have peace, we don't have God. I didn't hear an amen on that one, did I? If you don't have peace, it's not God. It's the thief that has come to steal your peace, destroy your peace. So anytime you feel your peace shaking, and I've just confessed to you a couple of times about me, so don't get too big. I'm in there. Then it's the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy. You need to kick him out and let the God of peace that brought again. Do you know how desperate God is to have you guys? I'll give you an example one time. Just blew me away. But many years ago, there was a revival going on. And this lady called Candy Staten was there. She was brought in to be a music minister during this revival that ended up lasting 52 days or 53 days. I was floored by her testimony because she was on drugs. She was out there in that life that it takes to be famous. And one time in one of her drunken stupors, she wrote a song called Let Go, Let God. She wrote it and passed out. And the next day when she got sober and she read this song, she got saved through the song that she wrote. That's the extent that God will go to get you if you're worth getting. And He thinks you are. You just need to think you are. You're beginning to understand the height, depth, width, breadth of God's love for you. Now let's get back to the Scripture. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the God of peace turned a bad situation into good? Is that what that says? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Was Jesus perfect when He was dead? No. Why? How do you know that? Well, because God made Him alive. Are you perfect when you're dead? You need to be alive in Christ Jesus. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Why does God want you to be perfect? To do His will. If you're not perfect, you can't do His will. Well, you're far from perfect, Stan. You need to talk to God. You just squeal on yourself again. How do you know you're perfect? He said so. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Am I pleased with me? Not totally. I am. Hush my mouth. You see, when I'm making mistakes, and I've confessed several to you tonight, God steps in quickly, that Spirit that works within me, to raise me from the dead that I was just in. And God's idea of growth is glory to glory to glory. It's a step up. Every time there's a confrontation, you might say that, or a conversation between you and God, there's a correction, and a correction is a direction. If God is not correcting you, He's not directing you. Because God is so good at this. He says, and you go, really? You don't go, oh no. I'm telling you, it's the way it works. That's the way the Spirit, when He chastises those that He loves, it is in such a loving manner that you think you've been patted on the head. If I'm lying, I'm dying, and I'm not dying. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Did you notice that it doesn't say there that He's in there working to please you? So if something doesn't feel good, tough. It's well-pleasing in His sight. He's doing this for His work and His will. By the way, His will is always better than ours. He's going to do it through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Why is God working in you? Well, number one, you asked to be worked in. You gave Him permission to go for it, and He went for it. That's number one. You believed He's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Even if it didn't feel good, even if it didn't look good, you're saying it's a good thing. It's a good thing. That turns to trash. Nuh-uh, it's not trash. That's good. Everything you touch falls apart. Uh-uh. It's going together exactly like it's supposed to. I am blown away every time I even let my thoughts process. Tonight I'm going nuts, I think. That's why I've got to kind of stay in, because I can tell you 10 jillion things all night long. And maybe little to you, but they're not little. You don't know how valuable you are to God. You will never know if you don't believe you're valuable. Because He can't show you value if you don't first believe there is value. He can't reveal to you the truth about you if you haven't yet believed Him speaking about you. He doesn't talk bad about you. He talks good. You know, I don't know if you guys remember when we came to this church, because we were very confused. We didn't know what in the world we were doing in South Texas anyway. This is not where we were supposed to be, but we just floated on a cloud and ended up here. That's about all I can explain to you. And we were told to come here. I'm telling you this because I want you to know how much God loves you, how much God loves Him, and how much God wants to use you, no matter what you think. And I'm for that. I said, you want me to come here? You got it. Here's the way you treat God. Yes, sir. Wait for an explanation. Don't say, explain to me, and say yes, because that's not God. He doesn't owe you any more than He's given you. But if you're nice to Him, He'd be nice to you. Am I making God too simple? I mean, this is the way it is. We came, walked into this church. Great. I'm not going to tell you what I was feeling, because it makes absolutely no difference. We did what we were told to do. I'm praying, God, what you want me to do? Now you told me to come here. What in the world do you want me to do? I don't know how long we did that, but we came. One day, out of the clear blue, I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but this is what God told me. He said, I don't need you to do anything. You just go and you sit right there and you watch me work through you being there. Okay? See, I can take that assignment. That's the quickest yes, sir, I've ever made, because I can sit there and be quiet. I promise you I can. And that's what I fully intended to do. I don't care how long. Sit right there and not do a thing. God began to reveal. We began to pray. God, things came undone. They came undone. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But then He started putting it back together. And all of a sudden, I can begin to see some word tearing Him up. The Holy Spirit just crushing it and putting it back together. Oh, God. The prophecy. You remember the prophecy. I ought to bring that tape and play it to you. You called out of a big crowd, I don't know how many times, walked up to the front so that I can be embarrassed. You are, what did he say? Bull in a china closet, that's what you are. Bull in a, oh thank you, I've heard that before. How many of you want to be a bull in a china closet? I didn't say be full of bull, I said be a bull in a china closet. It took us 2 years to finally, before God explained to her, what that meant, because I never got an answer. I couldn't get an answer. She came to me one day and she said, God told me. This is what it means. China is something that nobody uses. It's their ornaments. It's their their idols. They take it and they polish it and maybe put it on the table once a year, and they don't let the grandkids use it. And then they put it back up. And your job is to break their idols. And He's been doing that through me ever since. I'm telling you, if you haven't felt some of your... See, idols are not always pretty. But they're still your idols. And God has no other gods before Him. He'll have no other God. He won't even have you before Him. He won't have your opinion before Him. He won't have your love before Him. He won't have a person, place, or thing. He won't have your wife or husband. He'll have no other lovers before Him. He's jealous. He will stomp them. How do I know? Because I've been jealous before. And I know what's fixing to happen. And I know that God's a jealous God because He said so. I am so proud to sit there and do nothing and watch God work. You know what else I'm proud of? that He's working in you. Better than I've ever understood in my entire life. More clear. More clear. I'm getting to the point now that it's easy for me to see a friend laying dead on the ground, and you might say the hands of some of my equipment, and I can say, it's God. Why? Because I trust Him. I trust Him. God doesn't want your love. He wants your trust. The love will come. You just tell Him enough you trust Him and you watch the love abound towards you. God is up to something. I've had that, I don't know how many, I know several times after church when I felt like He was, it doesn't make any difference what you thought, I felt like by the Spirit He was at His rock bottom. I'd go to Him and I'd say, Pastor, I'm going to tell you something that God had to tell me quite some time ago to keep me alive. And that is, you're right where you're supposed to be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Now, that information is for everybody that loves God. You are right. It doesn't make any difference what it feels like. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. You are right where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And don't let the enemy come and steal that truth from you. God never brings up the past. That's the enemy trying to steal your future. Every touch, every thought, everything, if you'll believe this, every position that you ever find yourself in, it's God raising you and elevating you and promoting you one more step. If you'll believe that, you'll have what you believe. How quick? Why don't you leave that up to the guy that knows the best plan? You don't have it. If he told you, it'd probably scare you to death. I can promise you this in my life, if God would have taken me 20 years ago and told me what He was going to do, I'd have voted no. And I am not lying. I'm not lying. God pushes you and moves you at a step that you can handle, at a pace that you can handle, if you'll just trust Him. I can purchase nothing of true value with my means. Nothing that the cankerworm can't destroy. What God provides, if I move into His means, God provides tremendous value that cannot be destroyed, cannot be stolen. I can do no good work by my ability or by means. Man, this is the most important thing you can understand. Anything you've ever done, it's no good. That band that was at my birthday party, I'd like to play a song. I don't have it, but if I was here, this is what it would say. That guy, and by the way, the reason he's there is because of some ministry that went on that was so light that most people wouldn't even notice it, but I knew that he was hooked. When we met him in that casino, by the way, God works everywhere. When we met him in that casino and he sat down at my table and I began to minister lightly, you don't want to go heavy, God began to do a work. Brought a lot of my church back to hear him to a casino. Y'all need to break up the hard ground. God's busy doing things. And I, in front of them, I thanked him for the work that he was doing for God. He's going, huh? Because I'd heard a song. He had written a song that he hadn't even figured out yet. It says this, I analyzed my life and I could find that I had never done anything right. See, now that's the beginning of salvation. When you figure out that you've never did anything right, you're fixing to get yourself saved good time. And I cried out, send the rain. Oh man, now you've just given the reins to God. Now I'm making a long song short. At the end he says, now I live in forgiveness every day. There's a lot of Christians that attend church constantly that cannot say that. You know how you live in forgiveness every day? Number one, you forgive you like God's forgiven you. So you just need to catch up. You're way behind in the forgiveness that He's given you. You have not taken full advantage of it. That means you go to bed tonight and you look, the last eyes that you need to see and the last voice that you need to hear is God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Wait a minute, I screwed up. Listen to me. I am the final judge. You never will be. Well done, good and faithful servant. And don't argue. Any smart person knows not to argue with the judge. And He is the judge. I can do nothing grand or worthwhile within my means. So, does God want to use you to do grand things? Signs, wonders, miracles? Then you got to get out of your means. If your money's in your jeans, get out of your jeans and get in His means, okay? I will never produce or live in abundance with my skills or my means. If you want the abundance based on God's riches, you've got to get out of your way and get into His. You're not going to earn it. He's going to do it. The conclusion is this: I should never attempt to live within my means. It is against the will of God. Well, you're telling me to go out and outspend my checkbook? I'm not telling you nothing. I'm reading Word and relating Word to you. Now you take it up with the judge. You do what He tells you. I don't think He's going to tell you if you got $100 in a bank to write a $1,000 check. I don't think that's going to happen. But if He does, you do it. You better be right, or you'll take the consequences. When you step out on your own, you pay the bill. When you step out in Him, He pays the bill. Are you writing any checks on Him? Start with a faith check. Write the biggest faith check you can do. Faith check has been misinterpreted. It's not a check that you write with a pen. It's one that you write with the heart. Watch Him cash it. I must know that God through Christ, through Jesus, has purchased and accomplished, and I must, by faith, live in that supernatural means realm that is sure. The supernatural means realm that is sure. Your money is not sure. If you don't believe it, listen to the television. Do that rather than attempt to live within my abilities and purchases. Live within God's. This is what we need to do tonight. By faith, I need to commit to God my thinking, my understanding, my reasoning. Everything that's been taught to me by government, by educational systems, by the world system that is totally anti-Christ, I need to, what's the real strong word for that? When you want to break ties with it. I need to cut it off. I need to not ever let it enter my mind again. And if it does, I repent and replace it. I need to dedicate myself to believing the Word of God, even if it sounds like the dumbest thing in the world. I do this so you can make me into what you want me to be. Do you trust God in what He wants you to be? Do you really? Well, what if He tells you to do something that's so strange, you just can't do it? Never happens. He never suggests to you to do something that He doesn't give you the ability to do. Let me tell you another way. God puts us in battles. But He never puts us in a battle that He hasn't already won. So the victory is ours the minute the fight is started. That's God's plan. So what we need to do is get excited about the battles. Because I'm fixing to get a trophy. We sang a song, said, "Lay my crowns at Jesus' feet." Where'd you get those crowns? They're His crowns. He, in love, gave them to you. And you fall in so much love with Him, you say, no, here. I think Cozumel's good for me. I need to go back. By God's means, I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm filled with His Spirit. And none of this I earned. I'm filled with His mind. I'm given daily bread and all provisions. I fellowship with Him in the cool of the day in the garden that He created. I do this in faith. Amen? Well, where's the garden? Where's your faith? I have discernment. How many of you were going to stand up and tell me you have discernment? Well, see, you have none, or you stand up and tell me. I have discernment. I have understanding. I have ears to hear and eyes to see. I have a mind that understands all things. Why? Because it's Christ Jesus' mind. I am so busy killing mine that I can't even think anymore. He just thinks for me. I see and know all things. Well, you're getting pretty good. No, sir. I know who I serve. I know who's in me working, so I know all things. One of God's names is all things. Are you all up with me yet? I walk, and I'm protected in God's love and by His will. Did you know when you're doing God's will, the will is guaranteed to protect? That's why so many Christians die prematurely. That's what the Scripture says, because they don't rightly discern. You know where that's found? It's Ephesians. They die prematurely because they don't rightly see. They don't discern the word of God. They take the word of man. They take the word of the television. They take the word of a doctor. They take the word of an Indian chief. It doesn't make any difference. Any word that's not God's, you need to reject. I produce miracles, signs, and wonders. Did you hear what I said? You need to learn to say this. I produce miracles, signs, and wonders. And when somebody thanks me, I'm going to say it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. Because I can't pay for it. I can't produce it. I don't have the talents to. And I got to know that before anybody else does. I am full of faith. Are you full of faith? See, the Bible even suggests you to call those things that aren't as if they already are. That's not a suggestion. God never suggests anything. He commands it. His suggestions are commands with rewards. I am bold. Y'all didn't know that, did you? I am bold. And I need to say it until I am so bold that I scare myself. If God gives me enough boldness, He gave me a song that's eating me alive. And I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you what I look like in faith by a walk according to that song. God, I'm half asleep on the beach and the song comes. I had earphones on, but I've never heard this guy before. And God said, that's what you look like. And in that song, in the middle of it, it changes. And He said, that's what the devil acts like and feels like when you're walking like I just showed you. That's for another time. Maybe I need to practice the walk a little bit or something. I walk in daily revelation. It's not enough to get a revelation once a year, once a month, once a week, but you need a daily revelation of God Himself. Why? You'll get weak if you don't. You won't see His love. You won't see His abundance. You won't see what He's seeing. You won't know where He's going. And you're called His, so you must know. I'm full of Word, and the Word fills me. Why is that important? Because out of the abundance of my filling, my mouth speaks. I am full of the Word, and the Word fills me. I'm overflowing with the Word. I don't care if you believe it or not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm speaking the Word of God. So you need to learn how to talk to your kinfolks. I don't care what you think. I read the Bible and that's what it says. And I don't care what you think. I care about what God thinks. And when you look in the mirror and say, you're not what you say, yes, I am. You're a liar. Get out of my sight. I know what God says. I'm going to see Him and I'm going to reject you. Hey, I'm talking to a scripture in the Bible that talks about that foggy mirror. That mirror we see darkly. I did a message on that. Just turned me loose one time. It says, as we're talking, as God's doing the work, this is what it says. We keep looking in the mirror and it's dark. It's interpreted the word foggy. You ever taken a shower and seen a foggy mirror? What happens? The more that fog goes away, the more you see you. But the end of that scripture says that when you're through, you'll see, when it clears, you'll see Jesus. It's the same mirror and it's the same person looking into the same mirror, and as it clears, as your mind clears, as what you see clears, you're going to end up looking there and seeing Jesus, not you. And then nobody else can tell you who you're not, because that mirror is telling you who you are. A father never runs his children down. He builds them up. He may have to whack them once in a while, but that's okay. It's for their good. And God chastises those that He loves. Y'all can stand now. I don't know why you've been sitting still. You know, you couldn't have bought the, what do you call it? The motivational speaker that could have done any better than what you heard tonight. You could have paid $1,000 a seat. By the way, I've got a cousin that's a motivational speaker. Him and all of his kids and his friends drive Lexuses and Mercedes because he's such a good motivational speaker. He used to be a preacher. He's not anymore. He thinks what he's got, his million-dollar home and all of his cars and everything, his Hummers and all that, he thinks that's valuable. He forgot the scripture that he used to preach, which says the canker worms are eating it up. It's what happens when a person is called. You are now informed you are called. You are called because I just showed you in the scripture that God is already in you, doing a work so that you will do His will. That is a minister. Don't turn your back on that. Hunger and thirst for that. And when you don't feel it, say you do. And when you don't understand it, say it anyway. Thank you, God. You reach for the china, it breaks, say thank you, God. Your friends die, say thank you, God. Doesn't make any difference what you see. Doesn't make any difference what you feel. You need to know. You want to help people? You got to know that you're already helped. The goofiest person in the world is a wounded one going out and trying to stop somebody else bleeding. You have to know that you're already healed before you can teach healing. I don't care if you're crippling. Oh, you're healed. Oh, do it. Try him. Try his word. He promises. He says, I don't lie. If I ever lie, I'll kill myself. And I'm not killing myself. I think you ought to take an offering and send me back to Cozumel. My wife's not voting yes on that yet. Can I tell you, you got 5 more minutes? Let me tell you how God works. We got in Cozumel. You can stand there. I've been standing for a long time. We got in Cozumel, and one of the things that you must accept is the Word of God saying you are not only special, but you're blessed. Your walk is blessed. Your talk is blessed. You have favor. That's what the Bible says. You have favor. We got there, and it didn't make any difference. We had this little room. It was a nice room right on the ocean, and that's gorgeous, and that's enough for itself. And I told my wife, I said, we need a bigger room. Well, it's not the deal we made. See what she's trying to do? What we all do. We're going to live within our means. No, we need a bigger room. I don't want to go into a lot of details because then it gets 15 minutes, so I'm going to cut it short. We ended up in a 3-room suite. On our anniversary day, which was the first, she got the biggest... She got the biggest flower arrangement you ever saw. Birds of paradise, like you wouldn't believe. This was a $300-$400 flower arrangement in the United States. And there it is, sitting on her table. She goes, she loves birds of paradise. And roses besides. Not in the different area, there's roses. In the suite. Top floor, tremendous view. And we get around and we go to breakfast, and when we come back, the bed's all made. And some of the rose petals are all over the bed. I mean, I can't describe this to you, but the way they do the bedspreads and everything, it just, my wife goes, oh. Okay. Me, it's a bed. But, and we leave and we go, oh, we come back and there's a cake. Happy anniversary. The hotel kitchen had prepared the cake specially for her and brought it up to us. I don't want to just make it her anniversary. Evening came, a horse and carriage came up. And we get in and they go into town. We go to one of the fanciest restaurants in Cozumel. And that's, anyway. And in Cozumel, or in Mexico, an $85 meal is a big meal. This meal was $85. I'm ready to pay it. That's fine. This was a meal. And at the end of the meal, this white plate comes out with the most beautiful artistic work you ever saw. This little chocolate thing with, I don't know. It sounded good in the menu. Deal on ice cream on top. It really looked good. But they had taken, you know how they take these little bags or whatever, and they drew roses, flowers, and it said, Happy Anniversary, Stan and Connie. Perfect. I can't even, my computer doesn't make it that pretty. And then these roses in the bottom, they were outlined by chocolate, and the red was strawberry sauce, and the green was kiwi. And it was gorgeous. I mean, artistic. And I said, in that part of Mexico, they don't insult you by bringing you the bill. You have to ask for it. So I asked him, La cuenta. And he said, not tonight. What do you mean not tonight? It's paid for. Who paid for this? Señor Pedro. Pedro's the doorman. In a fancy hotel, he'd be a concierge, whatever it is. But he sits at the door and probably makes $8 a day. Now, I found out later, I don't care where it came from. Do you understand? We walk in favor. The next day, what was it the next day? Anyway, she got another cake. She got a bigger meal than that. It's God wants you to accept your blessings and your favor before you even see it, so that you one day you'll see it. And now, what I want you to do and what I expect us to do is walk with the idea of the blessings are overtaking us because of the work God is doing in you. And some of you don't feel like that, and I don't care what you feel like. And you shouldn't care either. Let God do His thing all over you. Because what He wants to do, the wealth of the wicked is stored to the righteous, and the way it's going to come is He takes those that please Him, and He sets them over there, and He takes those that please that displease Him in Ecclesiastes, and He makes them bring the wealth and give it to you. That's Bible. That's not my wishes. Now, do you believe Bible? Then start expecting. I ask you what you expected. Now, I want you to change your expector on what we talked about tonight. And I want every expectation to get bigger, but I want it to get easier. I want it to get easier and easier for you to expect bigger and bigger. Because there's a hurting world out there that needs you. They need signs. They need wonders. They need healing. And your pastor's already told you that's going to happen here. Do you expect it? It's one thing to believe it, but do you expect it? I need to stop 15 minutes ago. But I know you're such a forgiving people, you will never say anything negative. You know what? I have really thrilled myself tonight figuring out how much God loves you. That makes it easy to be in your presence. Really easy and fun. And there's not much telling what He's going to do for you if you finally release Him to do it. Why does He want to do this? I don't know. You're not worth it. Now see, all I did was say what you believe. You call God a liar because He said you're worth it. And if you say you're not, you're calling Him a liar. Are you powerful? He said, don't call Him a liar. He says you are. Because He's working in you to create His will. His will is powerful. All right, shut up. Y'all, you need to say anything? Praise you, Lord. Let's seal this. Father, I believe we've done your will tonight. You've used this vessel and they've heard, so you've used us. We love you with all your heart, with all of our hearts. And what we want is our hearts to be opened to even understand the portion and the size, the height, the width, the depth, the breadth of your love for us. We know that's going to be so encouraging, and it is so encouraging. And we just want more, 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 more. Make us a greedy people to want more of you. Never be satisfied. Control us. Use us. Because we know it's good. We trust you. Father, tonight, I'm sure there's a big mouthful that's been spoken here tonight because you spoke it. Cause us to be ones that can swallow big. And chew. An old farmer's term. We'll chew our cud all night long. We're going to regurgitate this. We're going to meditate. That's a lot nicer word. We're going to meditate on these things. And we're going to let them change us into your likeness and image. We're going to do this in faith, knowing that you never fail. Now I seal this tonight as not only a promise, but a direction. We receive it with thanksgiving. We will never be the same. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Y'all be dismissed.